My email address, again, is editor@marketingexperiments.com. You can email me throughout the hour with any questions related to technical problems that you might be having. And I'll get back to you as soon as I can. The URL for the notes page is marketingexperimentsblog.com. And we will ask you to refresh that page several times as we add some data and other notes. We will be staying in lecture mode this afternoon as we expect the call to be very full. Star 4 will increase the volume on your line if you're having any trouble hearing. If you have any questions related to the content of the presentation, you can email them directly to questions@marketingexperiments.com, and we will attempt to answer those live on the call. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be this afternoon's primary presenter.
Okay, Brian, thank you very much. I am looking now at new data that has recently come in from a test that we're going to be incorporating into this program almost live as we proceed along. I want to point out for anybody that's new to the MEC interactive web clinics that this is in particular different than our typical session. We're not going to really be getting into a lot of new data because we released a report 2 weeks ago with a number of our experiments on optimizing landing pages, and we had such an overwhelming response, we thought that we should continue the discussion in this session. One of the features of the last session was that we actually reviewed pages from our audience online live. We had our copywriting expert, Nick Osborne, and we had our director of optimization, Jimmy Ellis, online, myself and other staff members, and if we just kind of began to wade through your pages and talk to you about what we would do differently and what we would test. And we're going to do that today because we had so many people write and ask us if we would consider extending the session. But before we actually get into the pages themselves, I'm going to give you an update. This update is on one of the experiments we talked about 2 weeks ago. If you were not on that call, or if you want to refresh your memory, it is listed in the links on the notes that you see right in front of you. In fact, what you may want to do is, I think it's link number one in your notes. And Brian, I'm going to just take a moment. I need a second to prepare it properly. Good. Link number one says Optimizing Landing Pages Part 1. We've done a lot of reports on optimizing landing pages, but the most recent one, excluding today, occurred 2 weeks ago, and it was released today to our list, and you can actually read the written version of what we talked about last week at that link. And if you didn't get to that before, it may be something you'll do after today because it gets very practical in there and addresses many of the principles that are involved in landing page optimization. If you have read the previous one or you attended the last call, you would have noted that we did a test with a site that provides hypnosis script downloads and several other sites that are on there, and we're going to kind of look at those together for just a moment. That brief, the primary objective was determined for that particular experiment whether a small number of specific changes to an offer page would improve overall conversion for companies selling its hypnosis products. Now, hypnosis is a good niche for the Internet, and it may sound spooky, but there's a large segment of people out there who find hypnotherapy to be a viable option when they're treating issues with stopping smoking or fear of public speaking, etc. And so we applied the marketing experiments variable cluster testing methodology, which is we tested a number of variables all at once with a single page in a cluster. You may recall, and those of you that have been taking our online certification training, that really different than everyone else, we don't believe that you always have to test a single variable, even in a single variable test design, because every variable is in itself a cluster, even say short form, or let's take an email opt-in sign-up form, that is in itself a cluster of variables. You think of it as one when you test this email sign-up form against you know, a different email signup form, but in reality, you're testing a cluster of variables, and you can do it so rapidly on the internet and achieve financial performance so quickly that sometimes you should do a larger cluster and then drill down. And in fact, we teach that when you want to get significant financial performance immediately, you test a variable cluster. When you want to know answers to questions that are why questions, you isolate your variables. So here we applied this variable cluster, and we applied it to their page. And the optimized page included improved credibility factors, in photo credentials and signatures, and greater visibility was given the testimonials. It is not a great page. Our test page could be improved dramatically. We all knew it. But if you look in your notes, there's a link, and it'll tell you what the original page looked like. And then you'll see the new page. This is kind of a review. We talked about this before. I'm going to just update you on something here in a moment. You also may recall, if you were on last week's conference or 2 weeks ago, that we saw an improvement in conversion by 40.7%. That's remarkable. In a digital downloaded product, we're talking about 40% more revenue, likely nearly 40% more profit, because there's no additional cost to get that 40.7%, just running the new treatment, the B page. It's important to note that the headline and body copy of both pages were identical. It improved IPath and improved credibility factor. So we would obviously have optimized the copy, but we haven't even touched the copy yet. We simply optimized the way the material was being presented. And we talked about future tests that we'd like to perform. With and without the photograph was listed at the top, and with bold text to strengthen the IPath, and with a change in the design and text of the Add to Shopping Baskets button, and with a strong postscript, and with more time urgency built into the offer. Again, we're dealing with, is it link 2 and 3, Ryan?
Yeah, the original test was links 2 and 3. The new one is links 4 and 5.
Now, what we're going to do is look at test 2. This is the old page with a photo that we optimized. And then, and you may need to, because that's coming to you as a JPEG when you click on the link, you may need to click on it or improve, you know, to make it larger. But we actually spoke of last time casually that we would like to test the photograph. And there was a lot of conversation on the phone and questions raised about, you know, are we going to see conversion increase with a photograph or decrease? And I weighed in on what I thought, and we all talked. And you may have been a part of that conversation. But now, since we've talked with you, we completed a test. And in this test, and by the way, the 40.7% you can see reflected in your notes. You may need to hit F5 or refresh your notes page so that you can see these. But in this second test, we sought to determine whether the removal of the photograph on the offer page would improve conversion. Both pages were identical with the exception of the photo. On the page without the photo, the credentials were moved below the signature. So you can see the two pages in your notes. If you look back on the blog, link number 5 is the page without the photograph. Now, again, this page can be improved. I think it should have a salutation. I think it can use more bold font in the IPath. I think the copy can be rewritten and improved. I think the testimonials aren't displayed in the most effective way. So don't please run away with this as the ideal page. But we ran a test with this version, I would say still a weak version, but a better version. And the only difference now between this page and the previous is the photo's gone. So with that in mind, if you'll look into your Brian's dropping a table and to tell you the results of that test. So we set up an A-B split test to gauge the effectiveness of these two pages, and here were the results after testing. You should notice that there's an overall improvement in conversion of 39% without the photo. Now, there are very many versions of this page because they have a separate landing page for each problem that they're treating, phobias, pain relief, relaxation, weight loss, those types of things. And we tested it with 10 different pages, but the one page, the only page that made this great difference it was one of their most popular pages, one of their top 10, and it was on the subject of shyness. And in fact, those people who were shy, or who were trying, or at least interested in hypnotherapy, or as a treatment to their own shyness, 39% bought more when the photo was gone. Now, there's questions here. I mean, first of all, we could have assumed that just pulling the photo out is going to make all of the pages better because we only tested one of the landing pages. But, and this is something in validity testing, this is something in testing called selection error. You can have a validity issue with your testing if you do not take into account the different channels or types of demographics that are visiting your site. And so I would be very cautious if I were you about assuming that one landing page is going to work because it's tested well against all your others if you have different types or profiles coming in. I also would just make a comment to you on photographs. And I need to say this to you. While I'm talking, you should be submitting your landing pages. I think Brian has said that, but if you want your page review, please click on the link in your notes because we're going to talk about these pages with our team live in just a few moments and spend the balance of our entire discussion working through that. But can I give you a couple of thoughts about photos? We've worked with photos with major celebrities, famous authors, television personalities, large groups and then small groups. In general, it's better to let the people imagine what you look like than to help them with your own photograph. Now, the photograph of the right face can most definitely improve conversion. But 9 times out of 10, your face isn't right. Your CEO's face isn't right. Now, if it's Martha Stewart, notwithstanding her recent difficulties, she is a celebrity and her photograph will probably add to conversion. But in the case of John Doe, who runs a training program, his photograph, even if he's handsome, may send the wrong message with the eyes. There's so many when I do this, and I've done it, I have to optimize the photo itself before I can optimize a page with a photo. I care about what it looks like the person is thinking when I see their eyes and their face. I care about the setting of the photo. I care about the colors that are in the photo, the actual colors themselves. So if you're going to use a photo, make sure it's optimized. And in most cases, a photograph of the real person is not going to help conversion. Now, there are some exceptions to that. For instance, in a testimonial when you are trying to present a family who used your product, I'm just talking about, semi-celebrities trying to use their photograph or leaders of various companies. Be very cautious about that. In this case, I think he would do better without his photograph, even though he's a sharp man and he's we could say good things about him because we know him. Still, I'd be very cautious about how we use the photographs. And the one that's being used is clearly not the one to use. And in fact, they've sent us a whole group more that we're getting ready to test. So, all of that is kind of an update, and it has bearing perhaps on what some of you may be doing on your pages, but there's a lot more relevant questions that can be asked. We want to get to those relevant questions. And the only way to really help you understand how to optimize your landing pages is to optimize your landing pages. So I've got standing by on the phone a number of experts. Jimmy Ellis is our director of optimization. I'll tell you a little bit about Jimmy and our optimization group, some things that I can't normally tell. We were doing some research recently with one of the major publishers, Jimmy's combined optimization work. I mean, one of the largest publishers in the world. Over a period of 18 months, Jimmy's work in optimization increased conversion yield at 1,011%. Now, that's a real number. He had several tests, but the compound effect of all of them was 1,011%. I could go on with story after story. He's just good. Most of you know Nick. He's a bit of a celebrity himself from his work on the Internet, from his books on copywriting. He oversees Our journal is very involved in testing when it comes to copy and email and web communication. He's on the line. Cliff Rayner is on the line, who is our code warrior slash Cliff's one of his great skills is at testing pages themselves for their functional correctness and his absolute care to detail when it comes to the way code itself is written. And we get into the source code of pages and also optimize there. There are others. I'm not even sure all of the staff members that I have on right now, but they're all free to interact as we look at these pages together. And so, Jimmy, I think you've got some links prepared. Brian, are you going to be – are those links already dropped into the notes, or are you going to be dropping them in as you go?
I'll drop them in one at a time.
Okay.
The first one is under the URL is number 12.
Okay, so there's a new link that's just been added. We're actually looking at your pages as they come in, and we're selecting a few, trying to get a cross-section, not making it particularly easy on ourselves, just representative of our audience, and we're going to look at those. And so now there's been a new link added to your notes. It's link number 12. Click on that link, and this is from college, and William Jewell College in Liberty, I guess that's Montana. And we're going to look at that site right now. And so with that in mind, Jimmy, let me turn it over to you and get your preliminary thoughts on this. Nick, feel free to jump in as we go, and anyone else on our staff. Go ahead.
Sure. Can you hear me all right, Flint?
Yeah, you sound clear.
Making sure we're good to go. Okay, so this is one of the first pages that was sent over, and we thought we could make some interesting comments because a lot of people are looking at home pages and not sure exactly what to do with them. And for this one, for example, is very clean and very professional. When you get here, there's no direction. It doesn't look like there's a clear objective for the page, and we don't know what the William Jewell College, that what their objective is for the page. And so I'm going to kind of basically make some suggestions based on, let's say, if their objective was to get more admissions. And so when you first come to the site, this is just something I'm throwing out there because we're not being directed. There is no clear headline. When I go through the page, I see the top nav bar, which is very clean and professional. I see that nice intro image, and actually if you refresh your pages, that image actually rotates, and then I go right to the Jewell highlights section. And even there, there's no direction. It's just informational. So what they've done here is that the nice professional image is very good, clear indicator of where you're at. You're at a college. All the pictures are either students or the college, but they're not using that space as effectively as they possibly could by putting either directing a customer in that space or directing them a new student to where they would like them to go. So if it was for new...
I just want to stop you for a second, okay? Yeah. I need you guys to email me or Brian to take it off lecture mode for a moment. Are people having trouble opening the page? I'm not even able to open the page, Jimmy. I know you have it open, but there's probably so many hundreds of us going to the page right now, we may be causing server problems.
Yeah.
Could you let us know?
Nick here. Oh, it's finally loading. It's like it's... Okay, it's fine. So it is for me.
I can't wait to hear their the comments of their tech staff over there.
Sorry, I don't mean to crash your server.
There's one way to reduce conversion is to bombard their site with.
Aaron Rosenthal, are you on the phone? I don't know if Aaron's on our staff, but we were on one of our sites was on Dr. Phil yesterday, and you can't imagine the server load that took. We nearly shut down a group of servers at Rackspace that were co-located just trying to keep the site up.
I am. And we actually, to go into detail, with all our advertising paused, we brought down 3 Rackspace servers and filled a T3 to the max.
But it was a very good day for sales. All right, so back to this site. It is loading slowly, so be patient, but I've watched, and I think we'll continue to try to optimize it. Jimmy's picked a site. I'm looking at it now myself for the very first time. You know, he's deliberately not picked easy pages or ugly pages to start with. So, Jimmy, if you would – I almost think you need to start over because I don't think a lot of people could see what you were talking about. I think by now some of us are getting in.
Absolutely, no problem. So I'll just kind of start over, and I didn't really have too much of a rhyme and reason, but the number one question that we always ask when we get to a page, and the number one question we find that most companies don't ask when they're optimizing a landing page is, what is the objective of the page? Like, what are they, you know, if I was William Jewell College, I'd want to know, what am I trying to do? What's most valuable to our college? Are we trying to get new students? Are we trying to get alumni in here? Are we trying to get donations? Are we trying to, you know, show off certain parts of the site or new additions to the college or any specific sessions?
Jimmy,
sections? Yep.
For the sake of optimization, I want to give you an objective.
All right, give me.
Having worked with a number of colleges, I would think that probably the number one objective in most cases is actually it's lead generation. It's you're actually trying to get prospective students to submit an application. So even if that's not their objective here, let's use it as an objective because it'll help us to focus the page. Without some clean objective, we're not going to be able to get anywhere.
Yeah, that's one of the bullets I have there. So let's say they're trying to get new students, and let's say that's the objective. When you hit the page, like I said, you go to the header. You go to that nice intro image, that's the prime real estate on the site, is pretty much that exact square. And then most people would most likely go right down to that jewel highlight section that doesn't tell you that much about, it doesn't direct a prospective student to where William Jewell College would like for them to go. And so like one of the first recommendations would be to use that prime real estate and either add on top of the image or as part of the image or even repurpose this test repurposing the space as a, you know, are you a prospective new student? Click here to set up a visit to visit the college. I'm looking at a couple things that I wrote down because I had actually said it a little bit better. But basically to get them into the process of signing up to go visit the college or getting additional materials or information that they would need to learn about the school, and they actually have this on the page. So you proceed through the site, and then if you were to go back after scanning the page real quick, you'll see in the left-hand navigation they actually have admission quick links in the left-hand navigation. Now, the thing is they didn't use the primary real estate for that section if that's what they're trying to put most of the prospective students down. So if you were to take that and move that into that top center section, it would get a lot more clicks. Another strategy would be to actually bring part of the admission form to this homepage. And so, for example, you might have visitors going to certain sections. You might have prospective new students coming to certain sections. And then you might have alumni coming to certain sections. And you could actually have ways to direct them through the site right in this intro area that's currently just a strong image, and that's about it. It's not strengthening their offer. It's not strengthening their site. It's not putting students down the path that are going to lead to their goals and objectives of William Jewell College. So
yeah, Jimmy, it's Nick here.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to be, just a quick comment, going to be even more brutal than you, but you were rather kind, I thought. I would scrap the whole thing from the top, you know, from William Jewell College down, and then I'd go and make up an appointment with some of their admissions officers or staff at the university, and I'd ask them a series of questions, like when people are looking at universities, what are the most important three things they want to know? What are the biggest hurdles that people feel in terms of getting into a college? What concerns them most? What questions do you hear over and over again? Once I'd got those notes, then I'd come back, and I would, if the objective of this page is to generate leads for admissions, I would use what I learned from the admissions people, and I would use those as hooks and triggers, and I would have an email capture, and that would be my pathway, you know, like for, you know, send for your free prospectus or whatever, and I would have that as a simple dead center pathway. Based on what people coming to the site, what we know them to be thinking, wanting, expecting, and just capture that email address. And if we want to put some incidental stuff on the left, that's fine for people who want to look for and kind of browse around elsewhere. The other thing, I'd just make note about the text on this page. If you actually look at the writing, if you look at the subheads and the body text, every single word, just in a language, is written about the college. There is not a single word here addressed to the reader. addressed to a prospective student. It is all about the college, and in the, it is very clear in the language that this is just the college telling the reader about the college. There's no attempt to reach out and speak to the visitor to the site or address them or address their questions. But, and that's my short rant.
So if you guys listen to these two, what they're suggesting, I'm talking about our group on the phone, let me just summarize it and let me try to pull together what they're saying and talk very specifically if I had a very short period of time to correct this page. First of all, the colors are wrong. Color in the left margin will test wrong. It sends the wrong signal, and if you tested the colors, you'd find so. The white reverse on the dark greenish blue, whatever that color is, it's a green-brown type color in the left nav, is a mistake. Links should look like links. They do not look like links. We know they possibly are because in the left nav, but the starkness is not there. The visual is not there. If you just moved and got the colors wrong, that's number one what's wrong. If you look at the center of the page itself, there are too many options. There's too many graphics. The graphics are competing. They've wasted the space at the top left using a picture of the college in the key area. That picture doesn't need to be in upper left. Listen, a dominant picture never needs to go upper left because the dominant picture is going to get your eyes anyway. Upper left is key real estate. Put something in there that you want people to see first. To put a dominant picture in the upper left is to waste the upper left corner. Put the picture down near the end of the path where you want their eyes to finally come to. Put the picture down near the submit button for a request for more information. I would then do, once you find what's wrong with the page, then it becomes a question of you know, what to make right about it. And we could go on with what's wrong. Let me tell you something else is wrong. There's no voice. If I was designing a page for William Jewell College, I would have a distinguished member or the president talking to people on the very first page, inviting them to investigate the college with well-seated links in his letter as he talks to them, and the letter in a vertical format driving them into the key place where you're actually likely going to generate a lead. This would be supported by NAB at the bottom that would let you go to somewhere in the college. If you just wanted to come in and look for alumni or athletics, you could do all of that. But if the lead generation is the objective, then I would give this site a voice, and with the voice I would give it a clear eye path, and I would redo the colors, I would reduce the competition among the links and the graphics, and tighten the focus. There's a lot more you can do with this page, and we're just touching it. But I, you know, if I could measure conversion right now of the entire site from unique visits to leads, and then we were to take this page and redesign along the lines that we just talked about, I'll venture to say you'll see more than a 300% improvement in prospective leads. Now, they may not want leads, but I'm assuming that for all, being in an academic background myself, for all the, posturing, it still comes down to colleges need to recruit quality students, and I'm assuming they're no different than the rest. So I think what Jimmy said is good and what Nick has said is good, but I honestly think we should move on because to get as many of these sites as we can. I just want to point out that we could drill down deep. We could spend the whole session on this site and constantly and really, but let's try to visit a larger cross section of our audience. Yeah.
Glenn, this is Cliff here. Can I just add a couple of things real quickly here about the site?
Cliff is the involved in studying what's going on beneath the hood of this site. Go ahead, Cliff.
The total weight of this page is almost a half a meg, 500K, and there's 20 JavaScripts being called on this page, and the JavaScripts together weigh as much or just a little bit more than the total images and CSS combined on this page. So even if you did all the other stuff on this page, you'd have to fix that before you can hope to get any decent conversion out of it. It takes at optimal 56K speed, if you're on a modem, it takes almost 2 minutes for the page to load. Nobody gets optimal speed out of a modem.
So maybe it wasn't just our high demand. Maybe it's just a slow loading page.
We have how many hundred people we have on here times half a meg, so we hit their server pretty much one shot with about 150, 200 megs bandwidth.
Nobody on our team, by the way, if you're in our audience, nobody on our team likes Cliff. He always messes up everything we do. He goes goes back and looks underneath the hood of the code and sabotages people's good ideas, things that look good on the surface. And I mean that in a facetious way.
So we don't bring up Jimmy's name at all?
Cliff's worked with me for 20, how many years, Cliff? 28 years?
24, 25.
Yes. All right. So anyway, let's move on. Let's go to another site. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Brian's dropping various links in. I'm going to take you to a different I'm going to skip ahead and go to a pretty well-optimized page, which should make it harder for these guys to make comments. So I was just looking. I, while you guys were talking, I looked at a link that had been submitted, and I think Brian's dropped it in now. Let me see if I can point to it. Here it is. All right. I think it's link 3. It's EFAX. Yeah, link 3, EFAX. This is a site that is submitted, and candidly, this is way above average. It's already an optimized page. So what should we do differently? Let's go there. That's going to be link. What is? It's not link 3. I'm sorry. What link is it, Brian?
In the line notes, it's page 3 of the live review, but it's link number 14 in the URL.
Link number 14 in the URL. And apparently this was submitted. Was this submitted to us as a GIF or a JPEG or something? No, I see. Just a comp. This isn't a live page.
It was a JPEG. It is a live page. It's not on their servers. It's on our servers because we were sent a screenshot.
Okay.
Or Nick sent me a screenshot, either way.
Okay. All right. So essentially, we've got EFAX, and most of you are familiar with their group. And again, they've done a good job with a lot of things about this page. But I'll go ahead and let Jimmy and Nick comment, and we'll go from there. And Cliff, I guess you can't do much on this one because it's an image.
Well, my initial comments when I saw this page is I knew that it had been worked on quite a bit, and I believe it's used actually quite a bit with affiliates. And the thing you'll learn about affiliates is they spend a lot of time working on pages like this. But let me go through some of the good things that we noticed initially, and then some of the things that we could potentially improve on. There's actually a couple different strategies as well. But, for example, they have an excellent headline. I mean, send and receive faxes by email. It's not too – you can't say it any more concise and sweet than that. It's a good design headline. It's easy to see. It's easy to scan. The design in general is just simple and clean. They have great – that their button design is excellent. It draws your eye directly from the top left. You hit the headline. You hit the image of the garbage can and slam dunk it right from the free 30-day trial. So those are things that are – these are very excellent. And then – but in terms of someone that has – is not familiar with this EFAX product, there's probably some extra questions and other things that we could probably do to improve it. One of the things that we would almost do in every single scenario would be – with their free trial on this first page, before they click or when they click, we would capture email address and do.
I'm going to interrupt you there. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but you need to hear what Jimmy's saying next because we have another one of our products we're testing with, and 3 days ago we collected just by having them submit their email when they clicked on the button prior to getting to the order page. 55,000 addresses that one day, with which we were able to opt in 55,000 addresses that we can recontact and generate a more or less a cart recovery type customer service email, and it adds up to significant revenue. Go on, Jimmy.
No, absolutely. And what we see a lot of pages like this that don't capture the email address on this page, and when you think about the mathematics behind something like this, how many unique visitors hit this home page or this landing page, and how many people get to the next page, which is probably an order form or something very similar, where on that page you're collecting the email address. Well, what happens is you have so many more opportunities to capture the customer's information on this first page by moving the email capture from somewhere past this page to on this page or on a home page or on a primary offer page instead of an order form, that you have a huge potential to do basket recovery or to do follow-up emails and ask the customer why they had a problem completing the process, or we have briefs on this on basket recovery systems that you know, we've had basket recovery systems that recover 30% plus of people that fill out their email address going through this process. But that would be the number one. The other thing that they could do is change the actual copy on this button. These are getting some more of the finer details and granular things, but free 30-day trial is great, But it would be even better if you use start your 30-day free trial or start my 30-day free trial, something like that, that is an actual call to action instead of just a statement. Other things that we notice on the page is the demo. The demo is very, very interesting. I didn't have a live page. I didn't get to see the demo, but we've done some demo tests, which produced some pretty surprising results. We did a demo with a huge publisher, and when we had the demo on the page, the conversion decreased about 30 to 35%. And we were shocked because the demo was very, very, very good. But what our interpretation of that was, after looking at the page, that the demo gave people reasons not to buy. It's not going to always hit a home or identify with every single customer that comes to the site. In this instance, it turned more people away than it did turn them into customers. Go for it, Flint. We talked about this a couple days ago in depth. So.
Well, I mean, I'm going to let you finish. I'll let you finish, but I want to talk about the demo issue for a moment because I think it's very important.
Oh, it's important. It's very important.
I think you should hit us with buttons. What I want to do is I'm going to start setting time limits for each page so we can go faster, guys. So, Jimmy, you do a brief scan, and Nick, or if you want to throw comments, and then I'll mention a few key points, and we'll move right to another page. But what you're saying is superb.
It's Nick here. I'm going to have my few comments here.
Let Jimmy finish. Go ahead, Jimmy, and then I'll go right to you next.
I just had a couple of underlying things with the value of the actual offer, because I think it's great. One thing is they're not including the price, and things that we've seen is that with low cost items, many times you'll get more people in the trial process or through the order form or whatever you're trying to choose, trying to get them to do. If it's a low priced product and putting it on this page, if it's a higher priced product or service, a lot of times removing it from the page will get you more people through the process because there's more anxiety with the higher purchase. And my other questions with this is, if I wasn't very internet savvy, my number one question is, okay, you can send and receive faxes by email, but how many do I get? And it sounds kind of odd because most tech-savvy people, like everybody on this call most likely, they're familiar with these types of services where it's unlimited and it's basically you scan, you send it in, and it's based on a phone number that they provide to you, and it's unlimited. But most people a lot of people that are not as web-savvy are down at Kinko's paying $1 to $2 per page to send it through the machine, and they're like, okay, I get a free trial, but then how much is it going to cost me after that? Because if I have 200 or 300 faxes to send out, what's it going to cost me? So, you know, putting unlimited faxes on here, you know, send and receive unlimited faxes would be a number two headline or a sub-headline that would be very important. Go for it, Nick.
Okay, I'm gonna take a slightly contrary view here, which I know diminishes my employment prospects considerably.
We're used to it, Nick.
I'll tell you how I think this page works, and I'll tell you in part because I work on a site that actually has an affiliate relationship with eFax, and I don't know whether one's meant to share this kind of information, but my experience of this is that approximately 8% of people who see this page go on and then start a free trial. Which is pretty nice. The way I think this page works, I think everything below the first graphics and select your country, all that product downloads, eFax Pro, eFax Plus, I bet the way this works is that maybe 1% of people even bother, their eyes even go down there. I think this is one of those pages where they try to get people to act before you even think about anything, before you think about how many faxes I can send or how many. It's like one of those curiosity things. It's try it free, and then it says, under where it says try it free, there's a significant line that says, where do you want your number? And again, it's maybe not as well articulated here as it should be, but one of the things with eFax is that they give you a fax number in your local dialing area so that it matches your telephone number.
Where's that at, Nick? I'm not looking at what you're seeing.
No, it's on the homepage. Flint, I already looked at their homepage trying to find this page, and they have a different call. They have a different version
I'm
funnel set up.
I just clicked the link, and I've got try it free for 30 days, and underneath it says, where do you want your number?
No,
that's not what we're looking at, Nick.
That's not the page.
Nick, that was brilliant, Nick.
Nick, I know exactly where you went. If you go to,
always happy to share my insights on the wrong page.
Go to link 14 in the notes, Nick. It's the screenshot that you sent me, man.
It's okay to be contrary when you're looking at a contrary page.
Link.
let me comment on the page that everybody's looking at for just a moment, because
I'll tell you something. When I click on link 14, I'm getting an error on the page. I'm not getting there.
Okay, I hope no one else is. Try again. I'm on it. Is anybody else in our group having troubles?
Okay.
I'm gonna keep going.
I've got it. It's come on as an untitled.
Yes.
Oh, well,
okay.
This is a completely different page.
And I want to move to another customer, another page from another, somebody else's attempt to win customers. But let me just look at this for a second and just point out something. I think this is one of those pages that looks nice and good and clean and works reasonably well, and so people continue to use it. But adequacy is the enemy of excellence, and it's really not a good page. It's not a good page, number one, because it's trying to sell with two different eye directions, moving lateral and moving down. It draws your eyes down. It's got to draw your eyes across and draws your eyes up. It's not a good page because the demo – listen, guys, when you get somebody started towards the decision to download a demo, to download a trial, don't interrupt them with anything else. I don't need to see a demo if I can try it free for 30 days. Demos have become the rage, and in many cases, they are hurting conversion. I believe a demo is – there's value in that, especially where there's not a free trial. Give me a free 30-day trial. Don't make me choose between looking at the trial or doing the demo. Just move me vertically down the page, not with a set of bullet points, but with a short – because it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't even have to be a letter. But give me a conversation, not just a set of bullet points. Address me. Tell me what I can get and why I should try the free trial. And remember, the goal of this page isn't to sell – e-facts. It's only to get people to try the trial. The goal of the trial is to sell e-facts. So all you have to do in a page like this is give me enough information to make it worth my while to try the free 30-day trial. I'd have a headline. I'd start a conversation. I'd have that free 30-day trial not over to the right. It would be running down underneath. I'd do vertical. Vertical without pull, horizontal in most cases. And how e-fax works and receiving a fax, all you're doing is asking people – it's too much unsupervised thinking. Get it off the page. Use it as a pop-up. How does it work? Only for those people that need it. They click on the button. For those that don't, why are we adding any noise? Don't add it. We know how it works. We're going to get it somehow in our computer, and I will figure the rest out as we get our day trial. But don't get somebody caught down there trying to figure out your diagrams when all you want them to do is to click on the big red button. Now, I don't mean to be, to preach about it, and I'm only saying all of this in favor of something that should be tested. This is a good company, and they've tried lots of things, and so, it's not as easy. That's why we test. But I would design a page that was a conversation with a good headline with a free 30-day trial button at the end of that very brief conversation in a vertical format. I'd have the rest in a pop-up if necessary, and the pop-up would not interfere with the design, and I test it without the demo because I'm giving the 30-day trial and I don't need the demo. So that's just my quick thoughts, and I think I'd like to move to more pages. Guys, would you agree with me? And if not, please don't say anything.
Sure.
What do you think? Jimmy? Nick?
Yeah, we're good. Move on.
Let's move on. All right, good. We're going to move to another page. Jimmy, where do you want to go?
We can do link number 13, which is Roof Smith.
All right.
This is another good page.
All right, so we're going to link number 13 in your notes. It's Roof Smith. And Brian, are you forwarding new pages to Jimmy? And here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to set ourselves we're going to try a 6-minute deadline on this. Take 2 minutes, Jimmy, and fire away, and then we'll get 2 minutes from Nick, and then I'll speak.
I'll make a couple comments, and so I need to find some more pages.
All right,
I got another one after this one, but we need a new one just for that. So I'm going to point out a couple really good things, and and then make some comments. Once again, this is a good page. There's actually some really interesting things they've done. I know it's a landing page, but they have an excellent name that they've chosen for the site. And the mechanism on this page is really really good too, and it's one that's not used as much as it should be. But the mechanism to get people to go deeper in their site is this: get 3 in-home estimates with 1 free request. So enter your email address and go. No, we're on link number 13. It's roofsmith.com.
Okay.
Sorry about that. And the number one thing, once again, we're going back to this on this particular type of product and this particular type of page, is capture the email address in this first step. They have 3 in-home estimates. They're free. You enter your zip code, capture the email address right there, and follow up with them. Now, I like the design of this page because it is a vertical layout that goes from top to bottom. You don't have too many things competing in the right-hand column. People proceed down the page. It's pretty easy to scan because they have some pretty decent headlines and subheadlines. There's different strategies you can take, but I'm going to talk about a couple design elements. Like, let's look at the middle section. It says, "We make finding a quality roof contractor easy," which is a good subheadline. And they have the images, but there's a big flaw. What I would think is not a big flaw, but there's a usability improvement that we can make in the actual button that says "Get Started." The thing is, that button that we want to stand out and we want people to click on looks just like, are very, very similar to the other images, and when I look at it, it just blends in. I didn't really realize it was a button until I had to physically go back and read "Get Started," and I realized it was a button. Even with the blue link under it, that blue link is actually a little bit lighter than the standard blue link, and it doesn't pop that much. So even though it's there to help out, it still doesn't do that great of a job. And so I would make that button something that would be contrasting a lot, a red or an orange, or something that would really pop to get people.
Three-dimensional. Yeah.
Absolutely. Another thing, you make it three-dimensional, you add a drop shadow to it so it looks very, very, very clickable, and it would be one of the only things that has a drop shadow on the pages, which would also contribute to how easy it is to use and people finding it. And then my other quick comment, and these are their strategies, and then there's design elements. I'm kind of going through more of the design elements. The other thing is they use it. Their credibility indicators are on the bottom right-hand side, and they have some excellent ones. The National Roofing Contractors Association member, that's your instant credibility that this is not some affiliate site, this is not some makeshift company that's throwing this thing together. They're part of this association that's, you know, it's the National Roofing Contractors Association. I mean, that's the visual confirmation that this is not just someone trying to capture my email address or get my information or get me in the process. So I'll let you guys take over. I'm going to find a couple more.
Okay, find some more pages. Nick, fire away.
Yeah,
you got
2 minutes. I have some problems with this page because I don't know what they want me to do. Like in the first section there to the right of the photograph, they want me to put in my zip code. I'm on the right page, yeah?
Yeah, you're right, Nick.
They want me to put in the zip code and click go. If I do that, I go to a separate page. I just tried it. So is that what they want me to do, or do they want me to call 800, or do they want me to browse service locations? Then I've got this very visually strong. If you answer yes to these three questions and they have the checkbox, which are kind of visually arresting, that 1, 2, 3 is quite strong. So even if I'm about to enter my zip code, I think, well, hang on, am I meant to enter my zip code, or should I read these things first? So maybe I don't put in my zip code. Maybe I go down to the next bit. Then I go down a bit where it says we make finding a quality roofing contractor easy. Well, that's fine. I'm sure everyone in this business says the same. And there it says on the right, get started. And underneath that it says learn more. And underneath that it says questions about roofing with a number. So this whole page, it's like I have no idea what I should be doing. Should I do the zip code thing? Should I click the get started thing? Should I learn more? Should I call the number? I think they need to clarify and simplify this, ask one thing, and drive everything towards getting people to make one action rather than confusing me with so many different options.
Excellent. I'm going to try to do a very fast commentary to add to these guys, and we'll go to another page. First of all, the photograph's on the wrong side. Get the 3 in-home estimates on the left side. Use the photograph where you want to draw the eyes. Secondly, and the most important thing that's been said by everybody is capture the email address at the same time you're capturing the zip code. You can do that, and with the right wording, like tell us where to send your estimate instead of give us your email address, say something like, tell us where to send your estimate, they will naturally give you your email address because they want the estimate. And the wording of how you ask for it will have a huge difference. The lines separating each section, there's a horizontal line underneath the first section, a horizontal line on the second, horizontal line on the third. Every one of those break the eyes. They, in the downward motion, they separate the page into chunks, and the chunks then are disconnected. And honestly, Nick is so right. I don't know whether to get started down there with Learn More or to give a zip code, and what's the zip code for? If it's so that you'll know where to get my estimates from, fine, but then what do I need to do down there where it says review your contract and get started? And so I would drive everybody to a single, tight, clear decision of whether or not to give you their zip code and email address. And that, if this is a lead generation site, which I assume it is, that's what you want to start with. If you're trying to qualify leads, don't do it on the same page that you're trying to capture leads. Make the first page capture every possible conceivable lead you can get. Make the next page qualify the leads if you need to hone the quality so as to reduce your cost to work the leads. Almost everybody makes the mistake of trying to qualify the leads and capture the leads on the same page, and they're losing money. I would change this, and if there are several things, then I would tell them. There are three things you can do at RoothSmith.com. 1, 2, 3, and all three of those would be. Now, I don't like doing three things on one page, but if I had to, at least I'd be very clear that there were three things, so clear that there was no questions about it. There's much more that Jimmy said, much more that Nick has said, and there's a lot more we could say, but I think we should move on. Now, Jimmy, I know you're taking pages as they're coming in, and we don't have a lot of minutes left. I think we could probably get one more in. I'll
do the other one that we had on here originally that
came in earlier. Okay.
It was because we've done some similar, not similar pages, but some similar things on these pages. I've had some emails with these pages being sent in that some of them want more of a, you know, we're doing a lot of subscription sites, we're doing some single product sites, we're doing some other things with these zip email captures and stuff like that. They want more of a retail store, and the source is the one that I think.
Okay, let's go there.
Link number 15, which is the last one on the page.
Link 15 will take us to the next one. By the way, while we're going to this, I would really, you helped me last time. It was your feedback that you sent to us that basically caused us to reschedule and do this session a second time and extend the last session so that you could get more of these reviews. Please give us comments. Email us while we're going through this last page and tell us what we can do to help you more. And please tell us if you're finding this helpful. We've got a lot more things we're testing. I was just talking with Nick and looking at the doc, you know, all the experiments we have going on right now. One of the things we're going to be studying is the erosion rate of conversion on landing pages. Over time, we see them drop in conversion, and there are reasons that mitigate against the performance of a landing page. You need to know them and know what to do as landing page, you know, conversion erodes. And we've got experiments related to that. In fact, we've conducted 2 to 3 this very week. We started all connected to that, and we'll be talking about that and several really other things. How do you optimize a landing page that is also optimized for natural search? This doesn't matter if you're an email capture. I mean, if you're working with email marketing or you're working with search marketing, it only matters if the page you're sending to, say, the emails, if you don't have a standalone page just for pay-per-click and you do have a page that's really getting a lot of natural traffic and you try to optimize it in the way we're recommending you optimize these pages, you're liable to jeopardize your natural search rankings, which is huge. So what do you do then? We're in the middle of an experiment with that, and we'll talk to you about that. Ways to use images and other things to maintain your high search rankings but optimize the page within those very strict limitations. All right, all things being equal, we're on the new page. Jimmy, go ahead.
You got it. So this is the site is thesourcecc.com, and it's link number 15, and this is an electronics store that is kind of a component of Circuit City. And these stores, a lot of times, are a lot more difficult because they're not focused on one single product. And we have quite a few other sites that were submitted that have a similar layout, similar strategy, where there's thousands of hundreds of thousands of products, and they're not sure how to really optimize this thing. So we go back to our number one question: what is the objective of this page? You know, what has the source defined as the number one thing that they're trying to do? And where on this page have they tried to do it? Is it going to be to get people to the clearance? The ones that scream at you are, when you hit this page, is to find great deals in the store, you know, the clearance outlet, and then the free HP DeskJet printer. A lot of times the customer has an idea of what they're looking for before they're going to get to this page, especially with electronics. So they're just looking for a notebook. You know, how am I going to find my notebook when I'm getting, you know, there's an Outlook, or I picked is a bad one because there's a picture of a notebook on the image. But there's the outlet image, there's a free printer, and then I get the featured products, but I still, there's no direction. And I think on almost all these types of sites, there needs to be a conversion funnel or a direction, or they need to be pushed down ways that they're going to, where this site is going to help them find the product that they're looking for. And a lot of sites like this, they're more directory sites, and there's nothing that does that for them. But we've tested different tools like configurators, and guides and configurators are probably one of the only ways a site similar to this is going to be able to differentiate itself from its competitors, because a lot of times price is going to be the same, selection is going to be the same, it's the same products carried by 50 different manufacturers. But if you can help the customer find what they're looking for with either ratings or with a configurator, which has them specify certain features as they're going to the site. So, for example, if you replace these two huge images with something that would put the customer in a conversion funnel. So, for example, you could say, let's take the top three or four product lines that they actually carry. Let's say it's notebooks, digital cameras, and monitors or something like that. If you had a link that would put a customer into a guide or a configurator for how to find the perfect monitor, how to find the perfect notebook, or find the right any of these categories on the left or any other categories on the site, where they would start right there and they would make selections of what they're looking for. Okay, I'm looking for a Sony digital camera, so they choose Sony, and then they're looking for something that's 5 megapixels, so there's 5 megapixel, and I want something that's going to be under $500, and blam, I get a very qualified list of cameras that I'm interested in, and then you can have sorting options that have price and other things like that. That's going to be that design element that puts the customer in the funnel. It would be one of my number one suggestions, because there's just so many electronic stores on the web. So that's my spiel about configurators. Now, the other design elements, like design elements, not strategies, but design elements on the page, is that they have a ton of super strong banners on the left and the right. And I think that almost no one is going to click on these banners. They're so evenly weighted and distributed that they're really it ruins the emphasis. Because there's so much emphasis.
It destroys iPaths.
It destroys the iPath. So,
and the same thing with the banner in the center. That big free HP desk printer, they see it, they get it. But they also recognize it as a banner, and because they recognize it as a banner, they discount it. You'd be better to put a big image of that printer on white with a text underneath it, as opposed to don't make your own site stuff look like ads. It hurts you. But go on, Jimmy.
No, absolutely. So, you know, what you do is, once you define your objectives of the page, you want to weight them on this page. So if they had found out, like, there's a click and learn section top right. And that click and learn section, to me as a customer, if I were to go to that section, buying a digital television, choosing the right printer, those are the types of things that are going to help me find what I'm looking for. Now, in addition to that, a lot of people buying electronics, because they're consumer goods, they've seen it somewhere. They might have a buddy that has it. They might have been down to the local Best Buy, or they might have gone to Circuit City, or gone to the source, and they've seen it, and then they're trying to find it on the site because they just want to buy it on the web. And so if you look at design element-wise, their search is in the header. But what happens, what we've seen over and over and over again in these top banner header sections is the banner blindness phenomenon, where people, as soon as they see something in the banner, besides, you know, the logo, they just almost ignore it because they've seen so much. It's a standard banner location. It's been on every single page on the planet. Even this top squared section looks kind of like a banner, and so they're probably going to miss that search totally. And it needs to be brought down into the iPath, which would be above these images, or possibly below the configurator section. So you can either do something like, you know, click here to find the perfect television, click here to choose the right printer, and click here to pick the right digital camera, and then blam, you put or, you know, search our store, and that's the perfect lead-in for a search for someone that doesn't have a configurator or already knows what they want.
Can I chip in a bit here for a minute?
Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, because I've done a huge amount of work with consumer electronics stores, The first thing I'd say about this on the design is I find the, other than the, like you're saying, the banners, which actually just, they look like ads the way they are. And in contrast, I find the rest of the design, the color on this page, all the colors are very washed out. Everything.
Yeah.
The gray is like battleship gray. The red in the top navigation is washed out. The blue behind the free is washed out. Everything's washed out except for these things that look like little banner ads. That's a problem. In terms of what goes dead center on this page, you go anywhere you want. Go to Circuit City, Best Buy, get a Future Shop up in Canada, whatever you want. What you'll find in that top real estate is you'll either see a picture of a flat screen TV, digital cameras, or a printer. These are the three product categories which by far outsell everything else. This is where these stores make their money: flat screen TVs, digital cameras and accessories, printers. So I think they're not wrong in having the printer there. I think they've done it the wrong way around. I think they should show the digital camera, and then have the free printer as part of it. It's a very particular business, this, and all these guys always focus on the same product categories in that real estate because that's where they make the most of their money. If you're going there looking for a camcorder or a kitchen appliance, you have to go and look for it. If you want to find Learn More and buying guides, you find that little thing over on the right. But I think my biggest problem with this in paging away is, to me, the design looks amateur. This is they're kind of in the consumer electronics entertainment business here, and you can't afford to look this gray and bland and flat and put all the visual onus on this ridiculous number of little banners, which basically look like ads.
I'll tell you something else. You come to the site, and there's absolutely no person-to-person connection. Even in big retailers, I have, first of all, because there's no connection, there's no conversation, I'm talking about a paragraph that gives me one solid reason why I ought to stop clicking and stay here and look on your site for the answer. If you are the lowest price, tell me that according to BizRank, you're the lowest price in 9 out of 10 of top categories. Or tell me that you, if you've got the largest selection, tell me that you have 114,000 products to choose from on your site and that you have free shipping. See, there's a little free shipping over on the right that you won't even notice amidst all the lost things. On orders of 25, talk to me. Start a conversation with me and explain your value proposition as rapidly as possible instead of slamming me in the face with a big ad that says clearance and free. There's no dialogue opened up with me, and I don't need, I mean, I know this is retail, and I know that, you know, it's different than, say, certain types of service sites, but we have found, and Jimmy and I recall, Jimmy, what we did in all the testing with that huge computer group that you and I worked with, those simple 3 to 5 lines written by a real person explaining why I should spend more time on this site and explore it, those and laced with key links into the most important information, supported underneath by the top-selling or best, most profitable products, with clear navigation on the left, with no clutter with the eyes from so many colorful banners, that changes yield. And on top of that, if you can serve me with a configurator that makes it easier for me to find what I need. In one case, we saw where the configurator, 42% of the people who went into the configurator purchased. Those are quick comments from all three of us, and perhaps they'll help you. Gentlemen, do you have anything else you want to say? We've got to close this thing out. There's something I want to do for you before I go. I think I'm going to list for you the process that we quickly use when we're doing conversion. I'm going to have to just read it to you, boom, boom, boom. It's not in our notes. I pulled it up from my own files and then close this conversation out. But do you have anything to add before we get to that part, guys?
No, I'm good. I just wish we had time for to do two or three more. It would be helpful.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah, I do too. There's a balance. We're trying to strike it. Some of you would probably like us to spend longer on one site and go deep, but then there's large segments of our audience that have a different category of site, and so we're trying to, you know, find that balance. But here's what I would do today, this moment, if you had given me a site, and in other words, you were a research partner or it was a site that for somehow we were involved with conducting research. These are the things, and I don't suggest, well, let me just tell you the steps. Number one, we determine the page objective. We ask two questions: what is it, and what is the most effective way to accomplish it? Then we review the metrics. Where are people clicking? What are people missing? What is the visits to click-through rate? There's key metrics I need to understand before I do something and do it really right. Three, review the history of page and testing. What have you done before? What are the page versions you had up before? What have we learned from them? Four, I establish the context. I want to review the page in its path from its ad, the ad that got me to the site, to the final action, which in most cases, in this case, would be a confirmation page after a sale. So if I clicked on a link in Google and came to this site, I want to review it. I want to walk all the way through it and feel it. Then I want to identify the profiles from the channel. Who's coming in? Who are they? The various channels that are coming into this site, and what are they searching for internally in the site? Then I want to prioritize the page elements. I would mark them up. I'd print them. I'd print the page. I'd circle them, and I'd weight them. Which one am I seeing first, second, third, and fourth in iPath? And then which one should I be seeing in order? And how can I change that with size, color, motion, shape, or position? You've got to identify them, and then you've got to prioritize them. Number eight, I determine which element channels might deserve their own page. After I figured out the places that people are coming from, I ask myself, which of these channels deserve their own customized landing page? And then we draft the comp, submit the comp for peer review among ourselves, and then start testing. All of this is subject to testing. We're not consultants, and we're not trying to just ourselves. We don't want to just tell. We want to test, because testing is where you really learn. And I would suggest that you don't skip the 11th step. That's the test itself. All right, so that's not in the notes. That won't be in the review that we release. It's just an internal document that we use here. It's actually a map that we've built that we work through when we're doing optimization. Perhaps it will help you as you get this recording and listen to it again. You can read the brief on landing page optimization with a number of steps and insights. It's already been released. It's on the site. You can get this recording and last week's recording and listen to both of them, or even listen to them with your department. You may want to get several people who work on a project to sit down and have lunch together and listen to this conversation or the one we had 2 weeks ago. Perhaps it'll help you. If this is helpful, could you please just take a moment to let us know and give us your ideas or thoughts or comments, and also new topics that you're hoping that we'll research and be able to teach on. We are really just researchers and teachers, and we really rely on the feedback we get from you. I want to thank you for your trust, and we'll just keep on keeping on. Take care.